Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Today's reading is from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40, the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father will take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." This is the word of the Lord.
Grateful for this church, for the way it certainly played a significant role in the people in it in my walk, especially the people in this service, and in my development as a Christian leader. So I'm really grateful for this church for a number of reasons, but that in particular, and just want to thank both the church and those here tonight who are partnering with Prison Fellowship in gospel ministry. It's wonderful to be able to come and just share with you a little bit about what we do. At the 10 o'clock service, my family made an appearance, for those that I'm probably going to answer this question 18 times after the service, I'll just tell you now. Noah's in grade 6, he's about to go to high school, so that scares me as well as probably shocks you. And Judah's in grade 1, about to go into grade 2, and Anne's working at the kids' school as well in the business office, so we're all good. We're loving life up in Doreen, and being part of an Anglican. It's not really a church plant anymore because it's now in its sixth year, called Plenty Life. And yes, I've been seconded on to be because warden again. These things tend to cycle. Speaking of my family, I have an amazing wife. We're actually celebrating 15 years married this year, which is pretty cool, I reckon. And there are not too many things that cause arguments in our marriage. Praise God for that. Not too many. The one exception, I think, is probably the laundry. Now, as I look around, I reckon there's at least 4, maybe 5 reasonably recently married couples in this congregation tonight. So I won't ask for a show of hands because you might cop one in the ribs, but how many of you have, as husbands, have discovered that in fact you've been doing laundry all wrong all this time as a single person, and now that you're married you've discovered there's a right way to do the laundry? You're laughing pretty hard, Ash.
I discovered that.
Wow. Wow. Okay. How to hang clothes? There's a right way and a wrong way, apparently. It's okay. 15 years. After 15 years, I've almost got it nailed. Where the pegs go, that's really important on the clothes. It's really important where you place the pegs. Making sure that the socks make it all the way through the process and are still together at the end. That's key. It's absolutely key. What goes in the dryer and what does definitely not go in the dryer? Yeah, Pete's nodding. He's ticking all these boxes. Good. Have you taught her yet? Like, have you got it down pat?
I used stuff that went up.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right. I'm told that there's prayer ministry after the service. The big one, I think, is ensuring that things are separated properly. Whites, lights, darks, colours, getting all that right, no towels in, all those kinds of things. That's a really important one. And I think that's a mistake you only really make once. Like, when you're wearing a pink shirt that used to be white, you don't make that mistake anymore. Separation is really important when you're doing the washing. In this passage we read tonight, I had read for us by Angela, we learn about Judgment Day. We learn about the day Jesus is returning, a day of ultimate justice. And on that day, a separation will occur. That separation will be permanent, it will be final, it will be perfect. No red socks are slipping through into the white load on that day. That is a day where God will make a perfect separation. We serve a loving God. We serve a compassionate God. We serve a merciful God. And we also serve a very just God. God's love for us is so perfect. And his justice is so perfect that it dictates that he will not allow one speck of sin to be able to enter heaven for eternity. On that day, he will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And those of us that are believers, those of us that call on Jesus' name right now, have been saved from the consequences of our sin. And that's an amazing thing. But on that day, when that final separation occurs, not only will we be saved from the consequences of sin, we will be saved from the very presence of sin. Sin has no part in heaven. And God will make that judgment day, that final separation, he'll make it perfectly, and so there is no presence of sin at all in heaven. So the key question then becomes, well, what separates the righteous from the unrighteous? What determines the sheep from the goats? How do I know if I'm on the left or the right? And I think the answer is fairly simple. I think sheep act like sheep, and goats act like goats. It says in Matthew 7, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Sheep act like sheep, and goats act like goats. There will be evidence of being a sheep or a goat. And Jesus seems to say in this passage that how we treat each other is a direct representation of our relationship with Jesus. He talks about feeding the hungry. He talks about giving water to those who are thirsty. Some of you know the name Daniel Flynn, the guy who has created Thank You Water and all the Thank You products, who went to Dovale Christian College. He spoke at the Melbourne Prayer Breakfast on Friday morning, and I got to go and listen to him. And I kind of know a little bit about his story, but learned a lot more on Friday morning. As a 19-year-old, he's looking at these statistics about the millions of people in our world who still do not have access to clean drinking water. And then he's also looking at these statistics that talk about a $1 billion bottled water industry. And he got everyone in the room to stick up their hands if they thought buying bottled water in a place like Victoria is a ridiculous thing to do when everyone stuck their hand up, because we have some of the best drinking water in the world. And then he asked for a show of hands, well, who's bought bottled water? And everyone stuck their hand up. And so he thought, this is wrong. There's something going on here that shouldn't be going on. And so what he did was start a company where 100% of the profits of bottled water go to funding water projects in developing countries, so that villages and families, children, can have clean drinking water and not die in the hundreds of thousands of waterborne diseases. So Jesus talks about feeding the hungry, giving water to those who are thirsty, inviting strangers in, clothing those who are naked, caring for the sick and visiting prisoners. Our attitudes and behaviour towards these people show the fruit of our faith. It's not about earning our salvation. It's not about doing enough of these good things so that Jesus will like us or accept us. But our salvation, which only comes through Jesus and nothing that we can do, that salvation should be obvious. It should be lived out in our lives. We are called to love God and we are called to love our neighbour. Caring for those who are like us, caring for those that we enjoy being around, those who are easy to love, and also those who are not easy to love, those who perhaps are nothing like us. When Jesus is talking about loving your neighbour and he's asked that question, he gives that story about the Jew and the Samaritan. And the Jew that's left the tent on the side of the road, and the Samaritan, a foreigner, someone who despises Jews, comes and cares for him. How we treat each other is a direct representation of our relationship with Jesus. Prison Fellowship's mission is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with prisoners, ex-prisoners, and their families. And we are often caring for people who are not like us. Our volunteers are often caring for people who have very different backgrounds and are not like us at all. And our volunteers are showing the compassionate and the merciful heart of God to those who are not always easy to love, to those who have done terrible things often, to those who we sometimes have very, very little in common with. One of our ministries is a sports ministry. It's called SLAM. We have a number of teams dotted around the state, and they get together and they train weekly, usually basketball, soccer. Then once a month they'll go in on a Saturday and they'll play a series of games against prison inmates. Most of the time they lose. So if you want to win, then it might not be the ministry for you. Inmates have a lot of time to practice and they're really good. And you're playing against fresh legs each game, so that doesn't help either. But I remember going in with one of our SLAM teams and having played a game of basketball against these bunch of inmates. And there's something about sport that just means that you're kind of instantly bonded as soon as you've played a game of sport. There's a sense in which you can conversation can flow much more freely. And I got chatting to this guy called Ben. And Ben proudly told me that he belonged to one of the outlaw motorcycle gangs. And he talked about how he'd arranged, or they'd arranged, again, fact versus fiction, I'm not sure. But they'd arranged for a lot of the guys in their outlaw motorcycle gang to be in the same prison unit. And he was proudly telling me how smoothly that unit ran, because my goodness, no one stepped in the line. And then he told me a little bit more about his background and his history. And as I sat there listening to him talk, I thought, I've got nothing in common with you. We have lived two very, very, very different lives. There is nothing that's the same between you and me, except for the fact that we both just jumped off the basketball court together. And therefore, I'm listening to your story, and you're willing to listen to a bit of mine. And so using that opportunity, I was able to talk with him a little bit about what I believed, a little bit about the compassionate and merciful heart of God, and to reveal, hopefully, something of the light of the gospel to him. Rick spoke before about our Change on the Inside course. 6 weeks addressing common issues that inmates face and trying to develop positive character. As he said, rooted in the belief that if something internal changes, then real and lasting change in terms of behaviour can change. And I remember teaching this course with a couple of other volunteers, and this guy, John, would usually sit in the front, and he was in for multiple murder. It was a long time. He's probably still not out and won't be for some time, if ever. And we were teaching this course and we were asking questions, and he was almost priding himself on trying to find the most disturbing or disgusting answers or examples that he could from his life to share with the rest of the class, to share with those both leading the group and the other inmates doing the course. But our team continued to talk with him during the breaks, continued to engage with him after each session was concluded and there was a bit of time before they had to go back to their units. And over 6 weeks, we slowly saw some barriers break down. And again, this is not a story of someone coming to faith, but this is someone who over time saw that Christians were able to cope with the muck of life and get on and try and show something again of the gospel to him. Prison fellowship is a ministry that often ministers to the unlovely, to the broken, to the messed up, to the addicted, to the confused, to the lonely, to the hurting, and to the often smelly. A ministry that says, the world may hate you. In fact, if you read the newspaper article about you, you'll know that the world hates you. If you're able to listen to talkback radio when they're talking about you, you know the world hates you. But there is a God who loves you, still. And many times our volunteers are asked, how could God love me? Doesn't he know what I've done? And they answer, of course he knows. But you're his child and God loves his kids. There is a judgment day coming, when God's perfect justice will be meted out. It's part of his character. But God's character is also love and compassion and mercy. And God's desire is that all people will come to him. And when they do, like the story of the prodigal son, he will wrap his arms around them and say, "Welcome home. I love you." One of the greatest experiences of my 10.5 years now with Prison Fellowship was standing in the middle of a maximum security prison unit and praying with a man who had just come to the end of every single other option he had. I've tried everything, and it hasn't worked. I'm back in here again. I think it was his 7th or 8th time in prison. He said, "I've been reading this Bible, and I think this Jesus guy might be what I need, because I've tried everything else." What an amazing privilege to lead him in a prayer where he was able to find true freedom, even in a maximum security prison. Part of acting like a sheep, where there is real evidence of your faith, is being obedient to the shepherd's voice. Last month, I was in Darwin, and I met an amazing man showing all the evidences of being a sheep. Simon is his name, and he's the chaplain at Darwin Correctional Centre. Simon's the only chaplain for Darwin Correctional Centre, where there are 1,000 inmates. It's one of the biggest prisons in Australia. You walk in the front door of Darwin Correctional Centre. The door is probably not quite stating it correctly, the gatehouse. And from east to west, this prison is almost 2 kilometres wide. As I said, it houses over 1,000 inmates. Men, women, maximum security, minimum security, medium security. 86% Indigenous inmates. And Simon took me on a tour, and the tour took 3 hours for us to complete. And apart from it being a huge place, one of the reasons it took so long is that we kept bumping into these inmates, and Simon would engage them in conversation. And we'd leave that interaction and keep walking, and he'd turn to me and say, "Oh, he's in one of my Bible studies." And I don't know how many Bible studies he's got going up there, but there's a lot, because there's a lot of inmates that day, and I don't think he's allowed to have them all in one, so there'll be lots of Bible studies happening up there. I left him with a new Bible that's been produced by the Bible League. It's for prisoners, and it's got some studies at the start of the Bible, specifically written for prison inmates. And so I said, "Look, you know, we've got a partnership with the Bible League. If you would like to have some more of these, then let me know." So as soon as I got back to Victoria, there was an email from Simon saying, "Can I have 100, please?" So I sent him 100. And then last week, I got an email from Simon. This is about 5 weeks after, maybe 4 weeks after I sent him 100 Bibles. He said, "They've all gone. Can I have 500, please?" And so this week we're sending 500 more Bibles up to Darwin Correctional Centre. Simon's a sheep being obedient to the shepherd's voice. While I was in Darwin, I met with the Northern Territory Correctional Service, and we had a great meeting, everyone from kind of the Deputy Commissioner all the way down. And some of you will have seen the Four Corners report on some of the juvenile justice issues they're having up there at the moment. But they basically said, "Man, we can see what Prison Fellowship is and what it's done over 35 years around the country, and we would really love to have it here in Darwin. We will arrange passes for any trained volunteers that you can give us to get in." That'll be the first time the Prison Fellowship's had a presence in Darwin, and we'll be able to train more people who can work as chaplains under Simon. I also then met with lots of Christians up there who are passionate about living as obedient sheep. They're passionate about being trained as those volunteers and to give up their time each week to minister to prisoners, to be obedient sheep, ready to share his love, his compassion, his mercy. There's been a number of volunteers from this church that have been involved with our ministry over the years. And the good news is that if you feel like that couldn't you, you don't have to go to Darwin. Those opportunities certainly exist here in Victoria, and I'm sure Rick would love to speak with you about this after the service. Prison Fellowship is actually really uniquely placed to take the compassion and the mercy of Jesus to prisoners. By God's grace, we enjoy amazing access into the prison systems across the country. We have over 1,000 volunteers ministering to the least of these. Tens of thousands of conversations every year with prisoners. Dozens of sporting visits, dozens of courses being run. Hundreds of letters being written by Christians encouraging lonely inmates who don't get any visitors. There's lots of ways in which people engage with our ministry and minister to prisoners. So we really rely on Christians to volunteer with us. We really rely on Christians to support this ministry financially. We don't get any government funding, really, to speak of. And that in a lot of ways is by strategic design. We are clearly a gospel-focused ministry, and we believe that God will provide through his people for this ministry. And we want to make sure that we are able to keep our message very centred on the gospel, and therefore we don't go looking for money outside of those who are 100% behind what we are on about. So we rely on Christians to support it financially, and we also rely on Christians to uphold us in prayer. Prisons can be dark places. Prisons can be places where there are evil forces at work. And every one of our volunteers, we ask to have a prayer partner to support them specifically at the time that they are visiting. We think it's that important to have our ministry upheld in prayer. So certainly if you want to learn more, go and have a chat with Rick, sign up to receive the newsletter, all those things after the service, that'd be fantastic. Just as we close, the passage we read, Jesus' words in Matthew 25, couldn't really be more serious. There's a judgment day coming. The separation on that day actually will be final. And we are called to live as sheep, to take the salvation which Jesus offers us freely, and then to show the evidence of that in our life. Make sure that that evidence is clear. To care for those around us. Sometimes we'll like them and it'll be quite easy. And sometimes we'll find ourselves doing things which are a bit dirty or a bit smelly or a bit hard. But we're doing it with the motivation of the salvation we've received. The beauty of this is that God's desire is that everyone would come to him. And so as obedient sheep, all we need to do is show his love, show his compassion, show his mercy. And we can allow him to do the rest. That's all we need to do. Can I encourage all of us to live in such a way that there is evidence of our faith? That through our actions, through our time, through our money, through our prayers, that we care for the least of these. Let's pray. Lord God, we look forward to that day when your Son Jesus will return. When we will not only be free from the consequences of sin, but we will be free from the presence of sin. Lord, we look forward to a perfect eternity glorifying you. And Lord, as we consider how we might respond, how we might act while we wait for that day, while we look forward to that day, Lord, help us to have your heart, your compassionate heart, your merciful heart. Help us to find those who are hungry or thirsty or need clothing or need to be invited in or need to be visited. And help us to be motivated by you and by your heart to do that. Lord, we do pray for the Prison Fellowship volunteers around the country. We thank you for the privileged position they are in to be able to take your message of love and hope and grace into those dark places. Lord, would you sustain them? Would you protect them? And would you help them to be bold in proclaiming who you are to those who desperately need to hear it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.